issue back to my city.
Call our meeting back to order, please. Well, can't hear it. We're not on. Not on.
Mine is. May I have to switch your word with your mic here, Chuck?
Okay, try that again. Call our meeting back to order. We'll move on to bid opening on auctioneering services. Linda Gifford's got us some bids to open.
Yes, sir. We had three responders. I'm going to open all three, and then I'll make my bid tab as usual and bring that back to you, gentlemen.
Okay.
The first responder is Rick Finley. The second responder is Nathan Easley. And the third responder is going to be GovDeals. And this is an internet site, govdeals.com. Three responders. Again, I'll put that together on a bid tab and bring that back to you tomorrow. Make an appointment with Nikki to get that on the agenda.
Okay.
So that we can review that.
Sounds good. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you.
All right, next on our agenda is public comment.
Richard.
Richard, come on up to the mic, please. Morning, sir.
Morning. I'm Richard Jones. Ordinarily, I'd come before you as a representative of the Red Cross, and I only mention that because what I'm going to talk about began with one of my cases for the Red Cross. There was a fire, and it was last January, and I got a call about 2 o'clock in the morning. Went to the fire and to get help for the people, and in this particular fire, a husband and a father was lost in the fire. And she's been struggling with this property to get it cleaned up. And we've gotten help for her for a little of this. They have a home, an older home out in, near Taneyville. And various people have helped get that in a situation where they can move in. They have a home to live in now. But I'd like to address the situation at the burned out site. And it's out here by Bob's ZZ Stop, if anybody's ever driven by there, and that is still there. She called me a week or so ago and said that there's a shed or a garage there on the property, and they had broken into it and stole the motorcycle that belonged to her husband, and said she had some other stuff in there and would like to get it out of there if she could. So we got together with the Forsyth Christian Fellowship group and went over there Saturday and cleaned the shed out and transported everything that she wanted to keep up to her new home up there. And left everything else outside the shed in a pile there. So this property it bothers her and other people too, but she don't have the funds to do anything. And we want to try and help, but because of the expenses and that, I thought I'd come before the board and see if maybe we could get If we can get a backhoe and a dump truck, we can get this stuff loaded up, cleaned up, and I went out last Thursday and knocked down the front yard, the grass and weeds and stuff as much as I could, and it'll take another trip over there to finish up. But anyway, if we could get some assistance from the commission to do away with the funds for the transfer station, to get rid of this stuff, it would be a big help in helping us remove this building, the rest of this building, and get the property cleaned up, and so it's, it looks presentable when people drive by, and so that's our situation, and we just want to bring it before the board about maybe allowing us to dump free for this particular occasion, and with that, I thank you very much, and while I have the opportunity, I want to thank all the elected officials that came to the September 11th meeting out in back of the courthouse. It's always good to look up and see our officials there attending these functions. So with that, if there's any further any questions?
Was there a particular day we're going to have it?
It depends on whether this is approved and when we can get we would like to do it, I'm sure, as soon as possible. But that may be a month from now or what. But
okay.
But we're hopeful that we can get somebody to either donate a backhoe and the help, or maybe a reduced rate or something like that. But okay, we'd like to get this cleaned up and assist this lady. And I know it's a big she's struggling. She has two teenagers and plus the father-in-law, who is an elderly man, and he's handicapped, lost his artificial leg in the fire and everything. But they're trying to take care of each other, and she's working, but she just don't have much money left over at the end of the week. And so, if we get a little bit of assistance, we think maybe we can make this a doable situation. So,
okay.
And I would advise you when we are going to do it, if as soon as we find out what help we can get and what we can't get. So,
okay.
Mr. Jones, if you can make arrangements with whoever you're trying to, we have a free trash day that would qualify for as far as 2 days this month, October the 22nd and 23rd, 28th and 29th. Those days are free days at the transfer station, and this stuff that you would be bringing in would be qualified. There is no household trash permitted, but people bring in old furniture, they have plywood and all kinds of things, and that would qualify. If you can find your volunteers for your day, then you don't have to even ask us to about the free trash delivery at the transfer station, because we already have it available to all the public on those 2 days.
I will advise our association, and this is the Forsyth Christian Association. I will advise them and of those dates, and we'll see if we can't work on those days.
Okay.
So,
if that doesn't work out, then holler back to one of us, and
okay,
and we
I'll do that.
Get it on the table, whether. You got to think about how it'll play out in the long run and that
yes.
kind of thing, but certainly a worthy cause to be working on.
Appreciate your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Richard. All right.
Kathy Keithley Johnston.
All right. Kathy. Good morning.
Good morning. Danny, if I could be given about 10 minutes, I have documents that are being delivered from my office that I have copies for you all that I would like to speak on, if that's possible.
Yeah, you want to table it, is what you're saying, Kathy?
Just for
10 minutes.
For
is there
10
anyone
minutes.
Else on there?
May not even be that long.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Don't see any problem with that.
No problem.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We'll come back to public comment here in a few minutes. Anything else on public? All right. Under new and old business, we have introduction of Toxic Discovery nonprofit organization.
That is Mrs. Johnson.
That's you, Kathy. Okay.
Yes. I'll speak on two issues. That All issue right. I know very, very well. My name is Kathy Keithley Johnston. I'm happy to say I was actually born at the hospital at Skaggs the year after it opened, so I'm telling my age. Yeah. They had their birthday party yesterday. I am the executive director and founder of a national organization called Toxic Discovery Incorporated. We are a consumer advocacy organization. Our basic premise is medical device failures, pharmaceutical recalls. Also, we specifically do on any environmental and toxins. And being born and raised in the county, I'm also happy to say I'm a seventh-generation Taney Countyan, which definitely goes back a little bit. But we're looking at bringing all of our information into the county. Right now, our database is over 35,000 injured consumers in the United States. We're under a grant, so I'd like the county to understand that our services are free of charge for injured consumers. Looking for either physician database or contacts through Washington, D.C. on individuals' children. We have a toxic two kids, it's called, that children that have been injured by environmental toxins also. So it's just a way to express that we have brought it back to the county. I do have a residence in Columbia, Missouri. I moved there in 1991. But we are located in downtown Branson. We have at 123 West Pacific and also office out of the Hollister office in Branson Creek. So be more than happy to provide information to the county if that would be significant for individuals that think they have been injured by an environmental toxin. Then we're certainly here. I'm a background of a registered nurse of 34 years. I'm married to a scientist, an environmental geologist, so we have quite a bit of basis to that in what we do and what services we can provide to the county. And we're a 501 charitable also.
Okay.
All right.
Questions for Kathy on this?
Nice.
Do you have a contact phone number?
Yes, absolutely. Our office number is, of course, area code 417-334-7011.
This is a nonprofit organization.
We're nonprofit. We've been in business since 1993. We were founded in 1993. We started out on medical device failures specifically, but now we've incorporated pharmaceutical recalls, people that are injured that do not know if there might be either. It's not just about a class action. I'm certainly not an attorney advocate, even though I have them in my family. But it is about, as a nurse, and specifically, I'm a patient advocate. So we do things in Washington. We had specifically a law passed in the state of Missouri in 2000 on informed consent, that every woman receiving a breast implant had the right to know what was in that breast implant. I'm also a former director of oncology. I worked with the MD Anderson Group in Texas and built the Cancer Center in Jefferson City. So I have a good background to be an advocate on all different stances for individuals.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kathy.
All right. Environmental concerns?
I actually had visited with a gentleman, and he's probably going to visit with the county commission on an individual basis and then probably bring this to us.
Okay.
I think that's what's on there. I discussed it with the girls over the phone.
Okay. All right. Nothing there then. All right. Next one is planning and zoning. And I placed that on there to follow up with our issue that came up last week. Quite honestly, I didn't realize Jim was going to be out of town, but I'll go ahead. My goal would be for the commission to have a, so to speak, a work session, like in an afternoon, like a 2 o'clock, and also maybe an evening meeting, like at 6 or 7 o'clock. The issue that was brought up of, frankly, our planning and zoning being ridiculous made the headlines of the paper. It says P&Z rules called ridiculous. I certainly don't agree with that. There's a whole number of issues that I'd like to see discussed, because I think there's quite a bit of wrong information that was given out, and the voters are being encouraged to sign a petition to remove planning and zoning from our county. I believe there's a number of reasons that that would not be good for the citizens. Planning and zoning isn't perfect. Many times when a project comes before the Planning and Zoning Commission, excuse me, there's two sides to it. Someone is wanting to do a project and has supporters of that project, and many times there will be folks, generally neighbors to that project, that will be against that project. I spoke last week a little bit to my personal situation, where my wife and I had received a special use permit at our residence to do a dog kennel there at Kirbyville. We had lots of neighbors around us. I can remember the folks coming to the public hearing at Planning and Zoning, and I had folks there that, as a majority, thankfully, that were in favor of us doing the project, but also had one, anyway, as I remember, that was concerned about the noise that a bunch of dogs would be to the neighborhood. That did pass, and we did the kennel, and turned out to not be any problem. But one of the advantages, my point, to having planning and zoning is those neighbors around me had the opportunity to come and voice their concerns, to find out what the project was, how it would affect the neighborhood. If planning and zoning is done away with, that wouldn't happen. In my case, I'd have just gone ahead and done the business there in that neighborhood, and those folks wouldn't have had any opportunity to comment on it, complain about it, or stop it in any way. Again, that's my personal example, and there's lots of others. I've got, have you got those, Christy? I've got the, and I got you a copy there, Danny. I printed this off of the radio station KRZK's website last week. They copied and put on their site the statement that James brought to us. And again, let me ask you, Danny, would you be, off the top of your head, are you willing to have us a couple of meetings where the public could come in and discuss these issues and ask questions, whether they're for planning and zoning or against planning and zoning?
I think the public hearing would be great. I think that needless to say, there's been lots of conversation about this since it's been brought forward, and you know, I'm finding more people that are for planning and zoning that are disgusted with some of the ways that it's being handled or approached, that actually said that, I'm not carrying a petition, but they've asked where they could sign a petition. So I think that for us to have I don't think this location here is big enough to have a public hearing on the issue. I think we'd need to either contact one of the schools or the Taney Center or some location that's big enough to handle large numbers of the public, because seems to be lots of interest in voicing opinions on this issue, and it might make a difference in the way some people vote or respond if the thing is brought to the ballot.
Okay. Well, I'll make a motion then. I'll make a motion that we ask Nikki to find us two dates. She's already looked, but I've misplaced what she gave me. One in the afternoon, like at 2 o'clock. Well, that won't work at a school, of course, but that might be sufficient for the courthouse, because most people are going to be, I shouldn't say most, but a lot of people will be working on the afternoon meeting. What do you think about that?
I'd like to have just one with a presentation of everybody's opinions that get to be there. I'd like to have it in a one evening meeting with an opportunity for everyone to hear every comment that's made. I think if you have one here at this location at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, then you're just going to have a certain small group of people, and they won't get to hear everybody's opinion.
Well, my thought was, in having two meetings, there's going to be people that won't be able to make that one meeting, but they could make a meeting in the afternoon so that they would have an opportunity to be there. I mean, we can record them.
Yeah.
We can't hear it anyway. I'm sure we probably can out also for folks to listen to if they can't make one. But I think it'd be good to have an opportunity for folks that an afternoon meeting's a better time to come to.
Are you thinking six? Or you're just going to have her search for dates? Is what you're saying?
She's already done that. She's picked a couple
dates
of dates
in
that
October
that are
and then
open
I
next
handed
month.
Over the information to Chuck. So,
okay. So
I'll have to pull it back up when I get back upstairs.
I'll go ahead and make my motion. I'll make a motion that we ask Nikki for those two dates for an afternoon and an evening meeting, and research for the evening meeting, as you suggested, a school that we could meet at.
Well, that's fine with me. I'll second the motion for discussion.
Okay.
For sure.
All right.
Comment?
I believe in all public input as being a good thing. But I don't see your meeting set here as being anything productive. We all know there's petitions out there. We all know that is the will of the people to sign or not sign it. And it doesn't say throw planning and zoning it out. It says shall Taney County retain, I believe, planning and zoning. Now, don't quote me exact for words, because sometimes I get called names I don't like when I don't get the words exactly right. So this may be an opportunity for people that is for planning and zoning to get this out of the way. This may be an opportunity for them to say, okay, all the opposition to planning and zoning, now shut up. We've had a public election. We've had an election. We're expressing the will of the people. So the ability to come in now and say, well, now we're going to have public hearings on it, which I'm all for all, have a public hearing every day from now to then. It doesn't matter to me. But I don't see it as being beneficial, because I believe there have been many people already presented the petition and already signed the petition. So it would be the will of the people to get out and say whether they're for or against it. Maybe 51% of the people is for keeping it. But that's what the election is to determine. And not even knowing yet if the election is going to occur, because the petition hadn't been fulfilled, I wouldn't think, at this point, although many people I'm speaking to is showing deep opposition to what's going on. In fact, 100% that I've talked to. So that's my concerns, is why would we even be interested in having forums? And then the statement, all of a sudden a motion up to have these forums, whenever something's been presented up here on the board that said some of these facts are not correct, and I'd like to know what that is. I'm truly concerned that, and I've seen the newspaper writing down, presiding commissioner says facts are wrong or something, I don't know, that That was a general statement. Whatever the recording says is what I'm meaning to say. So now to make a motion to have public hearings on something when it's presented right here before this commission meeting, a little confusing on my part. But I'd like to hear what's wrong before you continue your vote on your motion, Mr. Presiding Commissioner.
Okay. Yes, Bob?
I like following James. I'm the one who said planning and zoning was ridiculous, and we need planning and zoning, but the way it is today is ridiculous. When where I live, there's 200,000, 300,000. I saw in the real estate paper a home right near where this church or this chapel in these 25 homes they want to build. They want $1 million. So right next to a $1 million house, you want to put 25 little cabins, which they did say, if it didn't work out, would turn into timeshare. That's wrong. There's no fire hydrants there. The house on Thistle 2 months ago burned to the ground because one fire truck couldn't get out with the other one coming in with water, with the pumper truck. That's what's ridiculous about this. And where I live, there's trailers. So you have a $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 house, and they got a $3,000 junky trailer blocked up on cinder blocks. People getting drunk on 4th of July, Labor Day, Memorial Day, every other holiday. And one guy over there, they even gave him permission to make popsicles in a trailer. He sells them to Rexplex. Now, I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm going to tell them, do you know where those popsicles are coming from? And the guy built a little house. There should be no building of popsicles. There should be no manufacturing. There should be no nothing over there except homes. And one guy just, a bunch of lots are for sale. There's going to be fancy homes there, and we're going to have chapels. And last week I got another notice, which I have to fight. So one person saw they're going to put a church over there, and here's another one that somebody right in that same vicinity wants to operate a prayer retreat in a meeting center. Well, gentlemen, I'll probably be back next week. I've got something that I'm planning also. So, you know, if you're going to allow this here, let's allow me too. So, but we need laws to say this street can be residential, this street can be whatever, and don't intermix them. That's what's ridiculous. So thank you.
Okay. Sherry?
I support the idea of a public meeting on this because I don't think that there's any one of us in this room that can assume to know exactly what is going to shake down on public opinion. I think new information always comes out there. Sometimes that brings on new directions. Sometimes it defines fuzzy boundaries. Oftentimes it causes people to make change where they haven't thought of change before. And one of the things that needs to occur in our county here is definite definition. I've been coming to these meetings for a long time. I've had to deal with planning and zoning, and there's a lot of stuff that is in the fuzzy gray area, and we need definition of those things. I think that that is where public opinion comes in there. Every person in this room has a right to public opinion. They should have the right to express it, and they should have the ability to be able to go somewhere to do that. So I like the idea of two meetings, and I do like the idea of two meetings because one of the things that you find in an initial meeting is you might get the public outcry that will come in on the first meeting. But the second meeting will bring in those who's thought about it, who has different opinions, who has new considerations to bring to the table. And that can help very much the defining of this. You know, you can't have change without a little war before it comes. If you look at our country and what they did, we made great strides after World War II, but it came at a price, and it came after a war. Our county is not going to make some changes without a little war going on here at the front. Not that I'm a warrior, not that I love seeing it, but it's just a necessary part of change because you're going to have two sides and they're always going to oppose. This country is based on freedom, and I think both sides need their expression of freedom in a place, and the best thing our county can do is keep those freedoms open.
Thanks, Sherry. Don? Morning, sir.
Good morning. I'm Don Earhart. And as you know, I had a little bit of a problem before with planning and zoning, and I'm one of the people that's pushing this petition for people to sign, and I'm for signing it. But I've expressed in the past that I wasn't really against planning and zoning, as long as it's carried out properly. And I find that Taney County wants to adopt a lot of the state's codes, and I have a problem with that. A lot of these states' codes are designed for, like, St. Louis, Kansas City, places like this, where they have a multitude of people and they have a lot more problems of population problems than we do here in Taney County, especially on the eastern side. If we adopt and we carry out all the planning and zoning codes that the state has put on us, it is kind of improper for this part of the county. I know that we have to go by state law. We have to do their codes that they put on us. But I realize that this county has an option of saying, well, they've got it, but we don't really have to enforce it. And I think the state has got a lot of these codes that a person that wanted to make a lot of problems could dig right into these and go out and make a lot of problems for our farmers. So therefore, I'm for doing away with planning and zoning until we get some straightening out done. Because I think we're overstepping what this county wants, because after all, we voted down as voters codes for this county.
Building codes
mm-hmm. for this county.
Yep. Don, while I've got you, I saw a copy of a petition at the restaurant the other day, but I don't have one. Can you tell us what the petition that you're promoting, what it's asking for? What is it petitioning?
It's actually asking for a vote of the people whether to retain planning and zoning. Okay. Now, this isn't word for word.
Okay,
that's
sure.
That's what it's about.
But it's
about. We want to vote on it, yes or no. It's you know, it's not a thing of we want to all yes or all no. We want the people to be able to vote on this. And I think the commissioners, this is just my opinion, I think the commissioners have not stressed to planning and zoning the full intent of what they require. The intent of having a planning and zoning that works with the people and not directly against the people.
Okay. Thank you. The point I'm hearing in this discussion is, I think I'm hearing that not necessarily entirely against planning and zoning as a whole, but the issue is that's what the petition, that's what the voters will be asked, whether we have planning and zoning or whether we don't have planning and zoning.
Yes.
And that is my concern, that, and reason that I'm in favor of getting the best we can, the information to the public, what happens if we retain it and what happens if we don't retain it, so that the voters, when they go to vote, if the petition gets enough signatures and that goes forward, that the voters will know these are the possibilities if I vote to end planning and zoning in the county, and this is what's going to happen if I vote to continue it. And it's an important issue. I mean, you wouldn't be working on it if it wasn't important to you, James, and those others that are working on a petition to. I assume your goal is to not retain it anymore.
Well, in my personal opinion, if it's going to be carried out the way you guys are carrying it out, I don't want planning and zoning. I don't want anything to do with it.
Okay.
Because it makes a big mess for everybody. On the other hand, if you don't have planning and zoning, it equally makes a big mess. I think the whole idea of this is to get you guys' attention saying, we don't like the way you're running it.
I think you have our attention. And going back to Sherry's point, I think there's something good can come out of the discussions. I would like to know what you think we're doing wrong. One-on-one, we can sit down. I mean, we don't have to have a public meeting. But I'd like to know what's up, because this issue has pretty much arisen in just recently. And we're hearing that it's planning and zoning's awful. And I sit through those meetings quite often. And as I said earlier, not everybody's pleased, because there's two sides to the issue. Do we have this project or we don't have this project? And so not everyone's happy. I understand that. Bob's comment, I was at the meetings he talked about on the cabin issue down T Highway. And some folks were in favor, some weren't. But what we're talking about is just doing away with it entirely. And I think it's important that those that are looking, I've talked to one individual that he was offered to sign, was asked to sign the petition, but not knowing what it involved, they didn't do that, which I think is wise. We need to know what we're asking for before we ask it. We may get what we're asking for and find out not really what we wanted. And so that's my purpose in asking for us to have meetings. And I would request you and those that James has mentioned that are against it and have the problems, I'd like to get a hold of the specifics. I know the land disturbance thing, but I'd like to know the other things that you're talking about, Don.
Okay.
Where are those problems? I mean, we've worked with this since 1984, and we've made the county commission through the process that's developed. If there's a change, the planning and zoning commission brings it to us, and then we look at it, and we're the county commission's the final say. And we can take something to them. So we're a tool that you can use. If you see that there needs to be change, county commission can sit down in the work session and work that out. If we agree with you, then we can carry it to them, and we can change the code a piece at a time.
I understand we have just adopted in the last few weeks a new code. Is this correct?
No, not at all.
Okay.
And that's
a misunderstanding that's been passed around.
It's just a misunderstanding, and that's a great example of my concern is this information is going out and is wrong. And if I could, from that question, let me explain. We started, I'm going to guess, about a year ago, look at redoing the code. And it was motivated strongly from...
Redoing the code. I was under the understanding there wouldn't be any building code. Is this what
no, no,
we're
we
talking
got,
about the full code?
We got, and there you go again. Folks get confused. You got two things. James brought up a master plan. Actually, you got three things we could talk about. One thing is building codes. And that is how you build your building, what size wire, and all those kind of requirements that you have, like in the city of Branson. That's a building code. The county commission, if they wanted to start requiring that we follow a building code, we can't do that. State law doesn't allow that. If we wanted that, we would have to go to the voters and ask for it. And that's what happened. And the voters said, no, we don't want building codes. So we don't have building codes, period. The cities, like Branson does, but they vote on that, and that's their own deal. We also have the development code. Development guidance code is the title that's given. and that is the planning and zoning rules, regulations. They call it a code. And that's what we've been living by since 1984, with a few revisions along the way. Then James brought up last week the master plan, and that was done by a firm, and it's planning of how we should look at building new roads or where we need to do sewers and a gazillion different things, so to speak. What's in the county and many things. James wrote that Taney County adopted a new master plan in 1999, what I'm talking about, changing the plan of 1980. Well, the master plan, I wrote our attorney to be sure I was up to speed on this. Did the master plan make any change to the code, what James was saying? No. Master plan didn't make any change to the code. You can't change the code. I guess you could say you could change the code two ways. You can do a vote like you all are looking at to do away with the code. That'll end it. Or the Planning and Zoning Commission makes recommendations to the County Commission to change the code. And if the County Commission agrees, then they vote and the code is changed. And that's how that works. Again, if you've got issues, anyone has issues with the way planning and zoning is operating, what's happening, you can come either to the county commission and share your gripes, or you could go straight to the planning and zoning commission, get on their agenda and say, we don't like the way you're doing this. And you can change it. And I can certainly understand us looking strongly at making changes to the concerns out there. I'm not going to sell for or against, but I think the public needs to understand that if we do away with the code, vote not to retain it, then we don't have any rules. Bob won't have, in his case that he brought up a few minutes ago, when they're going to do a cabin project in his neighborhood, he really doesn't have anyone to, I mean, there's no one that can do anything about it unless you reinstate the code and have rules where that can't happen. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And it's important. And you know, I applaud folks. I've been to city council meetings years ago and say, I don't think you're doing the right thing. And we got a great country. I'm glad we can do that. Again, I would request of you and anyone else that's looking at petitioning the county to do away with the codes to bring what your gripes are so that we can address them and look at them. Because it may turn out that the folks that are asking, yourself included, to do away with the code might be happier if we worked on amending the code, adopting or changing the code.
Well, I certainly think it needs to be amended. It's got a lot of wording, no more than I've looked at it. It's got a lot of wording that I don't like. It's made for a place other than this county, you know.
Well, we've been using it now for about 25 years.
Right. We've had a lot of problems with it, too, the last 25 years.
I don't argue with you there. But we've been living with it for 25 years and making some revisions.
Well, I could have a wife that has bad cooking and I can live with it for 25 years. That don't mean I got to like it.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Please, bring me what your gripes are.
Okay.
And I hope that's, if we get a vote on having some meetings, that'll be another opportunity for other folks to do the same. Thank you, Don. James.
Yeah, I know you don't have to recognize me again, but now that I'm getting kind of confused here, would you roll down to statement number one on my example number one?
In 1999 or 2000, there was an insert put into tax bills by the collector on a request by Planning and Zoning. This state insert is stated in familiar fashion, all agriculture structures must receive a permit to build a structure. Well, you know, I've done massive research on that and can find nobody in this courthouse that can come up with a copy of that. I've asked the collector. She said she didn't have a copy. There would had been a little confusion in her office when this might have been done. She said she was sure it wasn't in 1999. A new employee to her office said she was sure it wasn't done in the year 2000, kind of discrediting the what I know to be a fact, along with the example you just give of the planning.
Just above there, Christy. If
you master could, plan that was adopted by the county.
There you go.
So
that's good. Thank
me
you.
Being the conservative Republican I am, and me being of a descendants that is known to be pretty bullheaded and pretty stubborn at times, decided I'm going to go to work and I'm going to find one of these brochures. I called many friends, and lo and behold, an ultra-conservative.
You found one.
They had this right there that our county collector couldn't find, that you put quite an effort out in finding, because you come and asked me if I had one.
The only effort, James, to be accurate, is I came and asked you, and I also asked the planning
and zoning. And I was asking why planning and zoning might not have this. Now then, it doesn't use the word agriculture.
Could
but let
read
me read this to
please?
You. Important. This was put in a 1999 tax statement. A lady furnished it to me. And this is what the people don't know about when they pass these codes and ordinances. Before starting in the unincorporated areas of Taney County, in parentheses, and you guys in the back of the room can see the word before starting, then you can see the word any construction. It says before starting any construction, including homes, manufactured home, garages, patios, decks, carports, pools, swimming pools. I'm assuming the word says pools. Then it uses the letters ETC, etc. That would be what I would be assuming, naming all structures in Taney County, because it used the same thing, any construction, in the sentence above. 100 square feet or larger, call Taney County Planning, 546-7225, determine which, if any, permits are required. Violation of this requirement is considered a Class A misdemeanor. So on my statements up through there, they're all correct. It takes me a little while to figure out. I remembered this, but I didn't have a copy myself. But the taxpayers in 1999, to clarify the first statement, received these. There was questions asked by the planning, not the administrator, but an individual that worked for planning and zoning at the time. So you mean you got to get a permit for my barn? I was present. He said, and will say today, if you ever back your boat in that barn, it's not an agricultural structure any longer. So these are the things that the citizens are upset out there, the things that they assumed was being written to help them, especially in the agriculture world. The things that was written to help them really come back. Have you guys ever seen a 10-by-10 swimming pool in somebody's yard? Most of them are larger than that. Do you know they have to get a permit to put them there according to this brochure that went out in the tax statement? The citizens that received these had no predetermined thought of, well, they sent this to me just for fun. When the taxpayer receives that in his tax bill, I'm sure he believed this was law, even if it's changed. He believed at the time he received this was law. And the people I've showed that to since
are scratching their head going, wow, we have these kind of laws in Taney County, Missouri, rural, unincorporated areas of Taney County, Missouri? Well, yes, you did, even though you get a lot of people saying, no, you don't. Well, guess what? We do, and that's why I put it in my wallet. I can keep things better in my wallet. So I put that particular in my wallet this morning. And I just don't understand why there's many things wrong, as the statement from our presiding commissioner, with what was written down here. I can go to every one of those and show you the proofs behind them. Now, you said the 1999 master plan had something affiliated with 1984, and I did say 1980. Well, that's a real mistake, I guess. I don't think so, because I heard statements in the last 3 or 4 months around here that we'd never adopted a master plan. Well, I knew that was wrong because I remember when it happened. And all these things on here, you can go to whittling around at them all you want. Many rules of planning and zoning contribute to urban sprawl. Simple math. If a developer has to build 200 homes on a piece of property to make a project work, one time before this new master plan was passed, you could build on 1 acre in Taney County. One times 200. It takes 200 acres. But in our capabilities of figuring out what's good for the people and right for the people, we said it took 2 acres. Uh-oh. 2 times 200. It's 400 acres. Eating up our precious agriculture land. Eating up and promoting urban sprawl. In Christian County, I believe it was at one time, it was 5 acres. So, guess what? The developer has to have 1,000 acres of our precious agriculture land promoting urban sprawl. That's where that statement comes from. That was just a simple math one, but I've been asked more about that than any other thing, because I know planning and zonings was put together to help prevent urban sprawl. Christian County put a moratorium on subdivisions, if I use the right word. I hope it did. Sometimes I get carried away with that. But all this stuff is correct. All this stuff has been done. And like I say, thank goodness for a friend I called, and she said to me, she said, you know, said, I know why you called me. You know I'm the pack rat and never throw anything away. And I said, thank goodness, thank God that you didn't. Because I didn't have my copy. I'm sure, I don't know why, but I didn't. But it was sent in 1999, right on her tax statement. And there's no questions about it. But instead, it's questioned whether that statement's right in what I presented. I hope I proved to you that it is right. And as far, I don't see how much more freedom we can give this thing than to put it to the vote of the people. We are government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Now we're talking about we're going to huddle up in a room and decide to cure something. The people needs to know what's been put upon them and let them decide. That's what Stone County's doing. And the reason Stone County's back on the ballot is that when they had the opportunity to rewrite it, they flushed them with 70 or 80 new codes that they was going to have to abide by. And the people said, enough's enough. Let's vote on it again. And that's what the Constitution gives us as that right, is the people's going to vote on it. And I'm not against public hearings. Have all the public hearings you want. But I don't think you're going to change, other than arguing these points up here, maybe as being wrong, right, or wrong. Well, let me tell you, they are right. And the people was unaware, and I've got to cross Bob Shantz on this one, that you can't make a popsicle out of your home and sell it without going and getting a $150 Division III permit from our county government. That you can't work out of your home without getting a Division III permit. I've got all the applications. It's right over there in that folder. That was sent by our planning and zoning department. If it's not so, why send them? And that's all I have to say.
Okay. More discussion? Yes.
Pat Dooley from Kissing Mills. I've only been a resident of Taney County since January of 07, so I'm not knowledgeable on this at all. But I personally would appreciate a discussion of the pros and cons of this so that if and when, and I hope it does come to a vote, that I can make an intelligent vote. But I would also like to have you remember, you have a lot of seniors out there who can't drive at night, so an afternoon meeting is really helpful to them.
That's good.
But I do feel that I need more information myself. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Other discussion?
I would, I'd like to Pat, and this addresses your question, and maybe an afternoon meeting is something that we would consider. I would like for everybody to hear every response from every citizen has a concern instead of a few people in one meeting that hear something different than people that have the meeting at night. That's my concern about having two different meetings and not having somebody available that has a good point that never gets brought up in the second meeting or vice versa. And so that's my concern with just having one meeting. I'd like to have one. Now, I think we're a little premature in what we're doing here because the signatures haven't been met yet. It hasn't been, the numbers haven't been addressed by the clerk to know if the registered voters, if they receive the right amount. So there'll be a time frame after the signatures are got that will determine when the election's going to be. During that time frame is, I think, when the discussions need to be made so that everybody has the right appropriate information to vote the way that they feel in their heart. And so that's, I think we're a little premature in having our meeting. In the first place, I know that if you have a meeting now, that there people may not even associate it with whenever they get around to voting time. This vote can't take place in November. It can't. It may be in February, April, somewhere along the line. There'll be a lot of discussion out there, a lot of points brought up. So I really think it's a little premature on a public hearing about signing a petition. So unless there was something definitely wrong with that was pointed out that the wrong information is being put out there, then I think we're premature on that. But if that be the case, I've always been for freedom of voting. I've brought up things that I thought would get voted down that I was for. But I think people are to be able to vote. That's our freedom.
Okay. Well, I'll go back to my point is people are asking to go to vote, just as you said. I think it's important that they know what they're voting on before they get there. Kind of like going to the election. And many of the propositions that we face are worded funny and people don't know, and they've got to do their homework before time to know whether it's a we've got some coming up, got one on animal control things and a couple other ones coming up. We need to understand what that vote means, and that's why I think we need to get the information out there. What we're talking about doing, what we're talking about doing in this issue is retaining planning and zoning or not retaining planning and zoning. And folks need to know what it's going to do, one way or another. You ready to vote?
I was considering the one meeting or the other meeting. I would vote to have one meeting.
But the point is we can't get everyone. As you know, we got thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And to make it as convenient as we can for the people that are interested. A lot of folks won't be interested to come. That's a given. But there are folks that it's going to be more convenient afternoon. And shoot, who knows? It may get to be a big enough thing we need to have some more meetings. I understand your point. It'd be nice if everyone was there, but that's just, I don't think is a practical possibility.
I just know one meeting. I know that we had to, I just use it for an example. Mr. Pendlehunter, we had a meeting on our jail, and we knew how important it was to all the citizens, and we had one in Branson, and there was one person showed up.
Yeah, maybe all we have here.
You know what I mean? And so those kind of things, before we have something that we don't even have the petition, we don't have the approval by the commission, we don't have any of those things in place. And so to have a group of meetings, which is, you know, once you have one or two, and then somebody says, well, I didn't have that, and somebody says, well, I want to have another one. I just consider.
I did have one very important thing to say before you vote.
While you're coming, let me make a point. You say we don't have a petition. There is a petition.
And it's not for complete. I mean, a petition to vote on this or bring it to a vote has not been brought before the commission or approved by the clerk on the signatures.
But there is a petition to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It's out there. And
yeah.
It's worded, I think, pretty well. Yes, sir.
And I wish Bob was here, but I did call the Ethics Commission last Friday about involvement in this. And now the only thing that was said to me is you as county commissioners need to be very careful of your promotion or not promoting this.
Right.
And as being a ballot issue, you better look at whether you would be promoting or not promoting a. I don't know that you as a commission can call a public hearing on it, is what I'm trying to say. I think an individual out here might call a public hearing on it and discuss the issues. And they said that an elected official, as long as they participated after hours and on weekends, was fine with anything to do with a petition drive. But they did make the statement, and I wish Bob was here to address that, but I did talk to them Friday.
James, I think, going back to your point, we had a jail issue. The county commission held meetings, different places. We can do that, and we didn't. I went to many organizations, Danny went to a few of the organizations to explain what that sales tax was about. We did not, and I'm glad you brought it up, because that's not our place to promote or pull down either one.
Right.
Our place is to bring the information, what the issue is about, and the issue is to retain or not to retain planning and zoning. And what's that involve? I mean, we did the same thing on building codes. We had two different meetings or more and invited the public, and we had grand discussion. We had very good discussion.
Sure, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing, but so my question to you for just a little thought, would this not be the place of planning and zoning to call this public hearing?
Well, you brought it to the county commission.
Right.
The county commission, if there's a change to the development code, the county commission is the one that votes on that.
That's correct.
So I believe the county commission has a responsibility to explain what the issue is.
Right.
Just like we did building codes, just like we did a sales
okay.
tax for the jail.
That's fine. I talked to the Ethics Commission last Friday and quite length, and that's what the only thing that was said to me, and that would be my concern.
We're gonna try to, if we have two meetings, Chuck, are we gonna try to have one of them here and one of them somewhere else, or are we gonna try to locate a facility big enough if Pat thinks that I hate to rent a facility and then have one or two people show up in the daytime or something, or would you have it, one of them here and then one of them at a school? Is that what your proposal was?
I'm not strong either way. I think you probably have a good point. This room would not hold an evening meeting.
Yeah.
I think there is a lot of interest probably going. Enough people are talking about it.
Yeah.
That in the evening meeting especially, can't have it during the day unless we did it on a Saturday. I don't think that would be good at a school unless we did it after school hours. I guess we could.
The evening meeting would after school hours. We'd have to find out about their scheduling as far as ball games and things like that. But
It's, I mean, we could have them both at school. I mean, maybe a school would allow us to have it at 4 o'clock where folks that didn't want to be out at night could get there, and then have another one at 7 o'clock or 6:30 or whatever the case.
That'd be fine with me.
Okay. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. James brought up the point of right and wrong, and he slipped out, and we can go over those things later. Anything else you want to talk about, P&Z? Hearing none, we will back up, since that's our last issue, to public comment.
Did Kathy have to leave?
She's trying to get the particular document that she wanted to present. She said the problem is bringing that forward today or something.
Well, we'll just reschedule it for next week or something. Is that okay? Or
sure.
Okay.
We can also, if she's going to have it yet this morning, I mean, we can table it till 11 o'clock or 1 o'clock or something, so
if she can. And if you do that with, and she can't make that particular, I know she's busy with her business, if she can't make that, then we'll just reschedule it for next week. Okay? That'd be good.
But I'll make a motion to table public comment until 11 or 1 o'clock.
There's nothing at
1 o'clock. No, we don't have anything today.
Okay.
11
o'clock then.
Okay.
So, how about a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Anything else before we recess? All right, we'll recess until, what went on? A couple minute break, and then go to work with you, Nikki?
Yeah.
All right, we'll recess a couple of minutes and come back. Thanks for being here.